Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hour number two of the Instigators before the long weekend. Dan Dunleavy joining us, and Elliot Friedman going to join us here in just a moment. When we get him on the line, we'll bring him in. It sounds so weird, something we don't talk about very often, but just to hear Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the sports update. It just sounds as happy as Bills fans and everyone else around the league that they've smoked over the years. It just sounds weird.
I am going to throw it out there. I might be the only one in Buffalo that's going to say this, but I am very sad that Tom Brady is not a New England Patriot anymore. I'm sorry. He is the Patriots, him and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. I don't know. It's just not going to be the same.
Elliot, do you feel the same? I was just saying, Elliot Friedman joining us here on the Instigators, as he always does on Thursday at 11. Dan Dunleavy in with us as well, Elliot. But I was just saying, Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just has a really kind of weird sound to it.
Hey, Dan, first of all, how you doing, bud?
Hey guys, I'm well. Good to hear you, Fried.
It is very weird. It's like Patrick Ewing with the Seattle Supersonics or the Orlando Magic. It's like Wayne Gretzky with the St. Louis Blues. It's very, very strange. And you're right, it's never going to be the same. Although I have to tell you, Andrew, I do want to see what Belichick does without Brady this year. I'm really curious to see it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I want to see what Brady does with, you know, his own, obviously,
as much as a player can run
an organization, Tom Brady's going to be that guy in Tampa. He's not going to be obviously the coach or the general manager, but if he wants a player, if he wants a way of doing things, obviously they're going to make it happen for him. So yeah, I like it. I think it adds something different to the NFL as far as, look, we've seen that show 100 times and it's a good one. It's a winner. Let's see what these guys can do on their own now. And it's kind of been the same, eh, Elliot, when the coaching staff slowly gets broken up and is dispersed around the NHL and all the, Belichick, guys that have worked with him, and you want to see what they can do on their own and take what they've learned. I like it.
Oh, it's a great storyline. There's no question about it.
Well, the biggest storyline in hockey right now is where the hell's this week's 31 thoughts?
I'm sorry about that, Andy. I'm working on another project right now, so I took this week off. It'll be back next week. I'm working on something that takes a bit of time. So the podcast is out. I'm sorry. I apologize. I will not let this happen again. Please don't beat me up. It'll be back next week.
What are you working on? Are we allowed to know? Are you putting in a bidet?
What's that?
Are you putting in a bidet like Jake McCabe?
That's not that hard.
I got to tell you, if I was doing that, it would take a lot longer than a week. no, I'm working on a story. I'm doing an oral history of something, so it just takes a bit of time. Jake McCabe is putting in a bidet. That might be the most impressive thing I've heard this entire pandemic.
That can be number two on next week's 30.
Very well said.
and no, he's not putting it in. For the record, he said it on our show. We asked him about the quarantine and the toilet paper scenario, and he goes, "Well, thankfully, my wife gave me a bidet as a gift."
Like, she gave it to him?
Well, he'll.
Apparently it was a gift, and I said, what was the occasion? Like, is that a wedding gift, a birthday gift, Valentine's Day? I'm like, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, I got to tell you, I do have to investigate this. You have given me something to do, but I'm just wondering, like, what was going on that Mrs. McCabe feels the need to present her husband with a bidet?
He'll feel like he's in Montreal for a game day every day, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think some of it had to do with a road trip to Montreal, but we'll leave that investigation up to you.
Sure it did.
speaking of investigation, where are you at with the commissioner basically saying it's going to be difficult to play the rest of the remaining games of the season, finding a location for playoffs to start? I'm kind of throwing that whole finish of the season scenario question at you right now in one.
Okay, no problem, Andrew. So here's kind of where it is. As you guys know, President Trump held a conference call with all the league commissioners on the weekend, and you know, he pretty much made it clear he's hoping that sports can start being played at some point. You know, he mentioned August. I mean, we'll see. I mean, nobody knows. We're still in a situation where I don't think we're going to know until probably the middle of June. But so I really have an idea of where we're going here. But I don't think there's anything wrong with leagues saying, okay, once we're given the ability to play, what are we going to do? They have to be ready to hit the ground running, and they have to be planning. And, you know, you saw Major League Baseball. They're talking about everybody in Arizona. And the NHL's not talking about that. They're looking at multiple hubs. They're looking for somewhere between, you know, 2 and 6 hubs where they could take a few teams and say, okay, you're playing here, and you're playing here, and you're playing here, and you're playing here. And I think they would like to get regular season games in, Andrew, but I'm not sure. But I think they know it might not be possible, and the playoffs are the priority. So what we're looking at is a bunch of locations where teams can sequester and potentially play games. And one of the places they've talked about is North Dakota. That was directly presented to the players on a conference call this past week. You know, I know John Shannon reported Manchester, New Hampshire. I heard that John Waro, the AP there, he reported Buffalo potential. I know there's some people in Canada who'd love to see games in Saskatchewan. All of these, so I think they're kind of investigating, you know, lower density population areas where they can go. And that's kind of what we're doing here. And I don't think anything's set in stone, but I do think that the moment they're told, okay, we can potentially do this, they want to be ready with a plan saying, okay, because what you're probably going to have to do too, guys, is you're going to have to say to guys, okay, you got to quarantine yourself before you travel, and then you're going to have to quarantine yourself after you get there. That's the possibility. So I think everybody's looking here. Be ready in case we have to tell everybody where they got to go.
Nice.
Okay, so I don't know, Riv or Dan, if you guys want to jump in. I have one more. I have a question. I mean, it's more of like a it's your opinion, Elliot, more than anything, and maybe you don't want to say it. I mean, Dan and I were just talking about it with Riv. Like, do we realistically see hockey coming back for the 19-20 season? And if so, do you have a cutoff date in mind for yourself, or do you know of anyone in the league that has set a cutoff date where they're just going to pack it in?
Well, I think if there's a cutoff date, nobody's saying what it is. And I think it's probably sometime in July. That's my guess, but I don't know that. That's purely a guess. And if there is a date, nobody's saying what it is. And I think, you know, for two reasons. I think, one, because I don't think they want, like, a countdown. Oh, no, 46 days to go until drop dead date. You know, I don't think anybody wants that. And number two, to be honest, I don't think anybody really knows. So I don't think there's a date right now. You know, my opinion today, these are the pessimistic days. You know, the numbers are rising. We all have cabin fever. It's very difficult. I think also one thing I've been told is, and you particularly, Andrew and Craig, can understand this, knowing the way everything works. I think the escrow challenges for the players have really begun to hit them, and I think it's led to a lot of anger and frustration for them. So I think that, you know, it's a time of real pessimism right now. You know, if we're talking about, you know, nobody's playing until there's a vaccine, people are saying there's going to be no vaccine for 18 months. I just can't see that. I just don't think that that's realistic. What I do wonder about is how long until we can mass test people. Are we going to get to the point where there's going to be a test where a lot of people can be tested and the turnaround can be quick? Like, for example, so that way, every time a player shows up to a practice or a game and the coaching staff and everyone around them, you know, can they take a test? You're symptom free and we know quick. And I think that's not only the key to sports. I think it's probably the key to the whole thing. I mean, we're not generally doing enough testing in either Canada or the U.S. And the people who know more than I do say that is probably the key. Can we develop a mass test? And if the answer to that question is yes, then, and sooner as opposed to later, then I think it gives you a better chance of seeing pro sports back this year, although I'm not convinced there's going to be crowds. I think we're a bit longer away from that.
Well, that was going to be my point, is that I don't see how you even legally, given all the what knowledge we do have, is how you don't get your lawyers in room with health officials and try to get a sports league started without having every single person that has to be in the play, no matter what their job or role is, to be tested and tested. They do not carry the virus. I mean, you know, that's. And then all of a sudden, you know, now you have to sell that too to all the people that have families in much dire situations and people who make decent money who want to, rightfully so, recoup their earnings. We all do. Some of us are in the same boat, that at the end of the day, this is so much bigger than sport, but I understand wanting to get back. I want to get back. I want the game to get back. I just don't see how you do it right now. As Elliot said, without a test that's out there that everyone can be tested and really determined in a very short period of time that you're not carrying this thing.
Agree.
So all that being considered, am I a bad person for saying just cancel the season and let's start moving on to the off season? I don't know.
I don't think you're a bad person for saying that. I'm sure there are people who agree with that. I just don't think the leagues, you know, want to do that. And, you know, I mean, you know, I do think this, that people are going to want their lives to get back to normal as quick as possible. And I think that includes the people who play in the sport. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that, obviously it affects my job too, because I work in sports. But just as a human being right now, guys, I want to believe, because I refuse to live any other way. Like, I'm not a crazy negative guy. I don't really like negativity. I try to be as positive as I can. I'm realistic about the situation, and I think we're all doing what we have to do to get this to help society. But I want to believe that at some point, our life is going to start resuming some level of normalcy. And, you know, I think if everybody starts canceling their season, I don't know, it's like I'm just at a point where I'd rather believe that, never mind it's my job, just the way I look at life, I just want to believe that there's a chance that things can start resuming normal this summer. I may be totally wrong about that in terms of whether it can happen. Right now, we just don't know. I just want to believe it can happen. That's all.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump on the fence here with Dan and just say that, listen, I want, or Elliot, sorry, I want to keep my positivity up. I want to be able to kind of take this opportunity to kind of take a step back, take care of my family, and wait this out. And I hope, like, we're talking, we're the start of April, and we're talking about months down the line, you know, possibly resuming in a July, August situation. I want to stay positive. I want to do what we have to do to try and overcome this virus. And let's cross our fingers that things all go in the right direction, and hopefully we can kind of at least starting to resume back to normal life.
Well, let's have a conversation with our friends here, Craig. We got Dan on the line and Elliot. How is it feeling being positive? Is it a different change for you? I'm asking.
Who are you asking?
Do you feel negativity kind of oozing through your pores, and it's starting to like fall out of your system now that you're trying this new positivity thing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know what?
It's amazing that you sit there and point the finger at me every day like I'm this grumpy guy. And it's enjoyable to you to do that. It's amazing that you sit here every single day. Over 4 years of working together, I've literally heard that more than I've heard about 2005, 2006 season, which is starting to make me puke now.
Well, you see, the thing is, though, the only difference is that I say this again in front of our friends. I'm just not afraid to call you out on it. That's the difference. No one wants to step on your toes when you're rolling around like that, but I'll just be like, Riff.
You know, the amazing thing is you're the only person that in all of my life that I have been told that I'm grumpy. Maybe it's just around you.
Maybe we're starting to figure that out. And you force me to be happy. Elliot,
it's like that's a
what
punishment.
Else? What have you been doing in the last week? Have you watched any other shows or anything? You finished Tiger King, didn't you?
Yeah, I finished Tiger King. I caught up on Homeland. But I got to tell you guys, I don't know about you guys, I'm getting tired of TV.
Yeah. Well, you want to get some hockey on for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. I am getting tired. I'm getting a little tired of television, so I'm keeping myself with writing and podcasting. That helps, but I'm trying to read a bit more. I'm reading a book now by Bob Iger, who's the chairman of Disney. It's called The Ride of a Lifetime, and it's excellent. And I've got a couple more I'm going to pick up in the middle of that. I'm trying to get some reading done. But I caught up on Homeland, and this is the last season of Homeland. I think there's 3 episodes left, and, geez, it's excellent this year. That program was great for a couple of years when it started, and then I think it dipped. But the last couple of seasons have been dynamite again. So I'm enjoying picking that up. But I've been telling everybody, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, The Shield. The most underrated great show on television, 7 years. I'm telling everyone to watch that is looking for something to watch.
The Shield?
Yeah. Michael Chiklis, as the head of a squad of cops in L.A. that are corrupt. It's loosely based on a true story. It's excellent. And the series finale is as good as any series finale that's ever aired anywhere.
All right. I'm making note of that. What was that called again?
The Shield.
Oh, yeah.
The Shield. I've seen it. He's 100% right. Elliot's nailed it. It's a really good show.
Are you into music,
Shield,
Elliot?
Wire.
Yes, I am a big music guy.
Yeah, I did know that, actually. I don't know why. We were at the U2. You were sitting like right near me at the U2 thing in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right.
Rev,
yeah,
and Dan Pittsburgh. are big into the guitars. Do you play music at all?
I did when I was younger. I wasn't very good, but I tried. My son does drumming. So we're giving him a bit of a break right now, but he's a drummer. And so I love listening to him do it. It's fantastic.
Well, Riv, Dan,
that's very interesting because we just picked up Dan Dunleavy on lead guitar. We need a drummer. We're building a band right now.
Who's your son's inspiration on drums, Elliot?
I don't know if he has really an inspiration. He's eight. I think he might be a little bit young for that.
Okay. So it's you're his inspiration.
I definitely don't think that's true. But I've shown him a couple of Neil Peart videos, and he doesn't watch them a lot, but he did like that. He was impressed by what he saw there.
Oh yeah, I show my son that all the time. Is it live in Frankfurt, Germany? It's like one of his best drum solos. Elliot, we got to get rolling for time here. We got Dylan Cousins coming up next, but we appreciate your time and your knowledge as always.
I can't believe I'm getting bumped for Dylan Cousins. Seriously.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We've bumped you for less.
That's true. You sure have. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, guys.
All right. Same to you.
Happy Easter.
Take care. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up next, Dylan Cousins. Maybe he's live from the Yukon. We'll find out where he is. Thanks to Elliot Friedman.
That's a good place to be right now.
For his time. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
We'll see where he is. Dan Dunleavy on the show with us. Full 2 hours. Instigators Radio only on WGR 550 when we return with Dylan Cousins.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, first we had Dan Dunleavy off the start. He's still here. Then we had Darren Dreger, Elliot Friedman, and now on the line joining the Instigators on WGR 550, Mr. Yukon Gold himself, Dylan Cousins. What's going on, Dylan? Welcome back to the Instigators.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate the time. Are you in the Yukon?
Yes, I'm in the Yukon right now.
So what are you doing up there with no heat, light, or power?
I've been getting out fishing a couple times. Spend lots of time on the backyard rink, in the gym, just, getting as ready as I can for, whenever the season's up again.
Did you just say the backyard rink?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Now, do you still obviously have snow up there?
Yeah. Yeah, it just snowed again last night.
How cold is it up there? Like, you have ice on the rink, everything?
Yeah. It's like -1 like Celsius right now, but it's warming up and the rink's starting to melt a bit, so it's not going to be around much longer.
The only player in the league that is in quarantine but still playing and training on the ice. I love it.
Well,
it's definitely lucky.
It's 3 degrees there right now.
3 degrees.
And yeah, 3 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's -16 Celsius up in the Yukon right now. Like, that's no joke. Like, you're still like right in the thick of winter.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot warmer the last couple of days. Like, that's kind of new for it to be that cold. It's still 8 in the morning, so it's cold.
Oh, yeah. So that's what you got. You got crawling out of bed voice there. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Were we your wake-up call today?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's talk some hockey with you. You're a kid we talked a lot about this year, Dylan. Obviously, from training camp to the World Juniors to the season you've been having. I mean, obviously, all things considered with this virus going around, how have you felt about your season up until the point where things were shut down for you?
Yeah, I was pretty happy with my season. Just from start to finish, I think I, produced consistently. And, I learned a lot. I took a bigger leadership role, and I learned how to be a captain. And obviously the experience at World Juniors was as good as it gets. To leave that with a gold medal is something I'll remember forever. And then, obviously we're getting real excited for playoffs there. And then, it was disappointing for that to come to an end. But, I think we were still really happy what we did as a team that year and how we came together as a group and did what we did. So, I think the season went really well.
What was your main objective going into this year? I mean, was it when you got drafted where you did, and you go back to junior and think, I want to go back, have one really, really good year, and try to put myself in a position to be ready for the NHL?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it was definitely, a lot of preparing myself for next year to try and make that jump. But, at the same time, we had a strong group, and, our big focus was on winning. We wanted to, go in a championship. But, at the same time, I was still, pretending every day like I was training for next training camp and, trying to get myself ready to make that jump, when next season hits.
What do you think that, what were the things that you tried to improve in your game to be able to make the jump to the NHL?
Well, I think, I just tried to improve my quickness a lot. I think my skating is such a big part of my game. And, if I can get it better, get quicker, more explosive, it's just going to give me even more of an advantage. So, the biggest thing I was working on was my explosiveness.
Instigators joined right now with Dylan Cousins on the line here, all the way from the Yukon. And I guess, the question I want to ask you next is about World Juniors. I mean, that experience for you, where do you take that and put it in? Not so much in your experiences in terms of winning and where do you rank it, but just where do you take that experience to help you go forward with your career?
Yeah, for sure. You know, just getting to play with all those players there, you know, the best junior players in Canada, you know, you could learn a lot from them too. It was just being on the ice with those guys and playing with them was something that, you know, I took in and, you know, I used what I could and took what I could from them to learn. And, you know, obviously a guy like Barrett Hayton, he was playing in the NHL this year. You know, he could learn a lot from him. So, you know, I think the biggest thing was just learning from those guys too and seeing how a group like that can come together and win, you know, if guys just put their best foot forward and do whatever it takes to win.
What are you? Are you? We know you can play both center and wing, but are you more a centerman than a winger? Are you? You know, like what's your stance on your position? Are you a natural centerman?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a natural centerman, but you know I can play the wing too. So it's just whatever works better.
Riff,
awesome.
Anything?
Well, I just wanted to kind of know, like, you know, getting away from, you know, the ice rink, you know, how have you spent your time trying to, you know, stay in shape, you know, working out at home? Are you doing anything specific right now training-wise?
Yeah, actually, my trainer's opened up the gym for just me to go in there and work out one-on-one with him. So I've been doing good workouts every single day. So that's definitely another big advantage I've got right now. Other than that, just, you know, getting out fishing as much as we can, and that's pretty much it. Not much else really I can do.
Pays to be the only first rounder to ever come out of the Yukon, eh?
Yeah, it definitely helps.
any specific,
you know what?
Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, Dylan, it's Dan Dunleavy, and I mean, the last time we would have even had 2 seconds to talk would have been back in, you know, prospects camp, and obviously you've come a long way since, and I can even hear it in your voice how much you've grown up and grown probably more into the young man you want to be and the NHL player that you want to be sooner rather than later. But, you know, when you look back to those days, obviously you're thinking, all right, I'm ready. Let's get to the National Hockey League, even understanding there's still growth to be had in your game. You go through the season you had, you go through the World Junior Tournament that Petey was talking to you about. You talk about all these different kind of pieces to the puzzle that have been added to who you are. How do you assess the whole experience, you know, in its entirety of prospects camp? You're going back to junior, you're playing for your country, and all these great things are happening while at the end of the road is still the main goal of getting to the National Hockey League. What have you kind of soaked in? What have you learned? It's kind of cliche to say what you've learned about yourself, but have you noticed your own growth when you kind of sit back and think about, you know what, now I am closer to ready, even if I thought I was ready, you know, 9 months ago?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just thinking back to myself where I was at this point last year, you know, I definitely think I've matured a lot and, you know, become more of a man just as it comes with age. And, you know, I'm starting to grow into my body more, get stronger, you know, put on more weight. So, you know, I definitely think throughout the whole year it's been a big learning experience, you know, just learning everything at camp and then going to World Juniors, learning how to be a leader, you know, in Lethbridge. And, you know, it's just been learning and getting myself ready to make that jump. And, you know, I definitely feel, you know, as most people are more confident going into camp this year at my chances. But, you know, it's still not going to be easy. I know that. And I'll have to have a big summer here if I want to be ready for that.
Well, let me ask you this. Going into your season, did you set any statistical goals for yourself? I mean, in terms of points, goals, assists. I mean, obviously, I know you were talking about winning a Memorial Cup and preparing yourself, you know, to give yourself the best chance going into next season to make the Sabres. But did you set any goals? Like, did you want to hit 100 points? Did you want to hit 40 or 50 goals? I mean, looking at your numbers, you know, you're on pace for all of that.
Yeah, I didn't really like set like statistical goals, but you know, obviously I was looking at 40 goals there at the end. I wanted to catch that. Obviously with the way the season ended, it wasn't going to happen, but you know, I just wanted to go out there and be consistent, you know, give my team a chance to win every single night, just go out there and, you know, just lead by example and just work as hard as I can every night and make everyone else play up to my level. So there wasn't really any statistical goals, just to be as consistent as I could from start to finish.
How do you handle the school and the travel and the dub? I mean, knowing all the WHL players that I've played with, all they talk about are just ridiculously long bus trips and, you know, like school's tough to get done. I mean, like, how do you handle and balance that load?
So I finished school last year, so I didn't have it this year, which was nice. But, you know, when I came in at 16, you know, the trips are long. You're on the road for 2 weeks at some times, and you're trying to get schoolwork done, play games at the same time. It's definitely tough. And then during my draft year, I took one class at the start of the year, and I was done school in January. So, you know, I had the back half to just relax and not worry about school. But, you know, the trips are long and hard. But, you know, it just helps get your body ready for the next level.
What is your longest trip?
Our longest probably would be to, like, Portland, and I'd say that's, like, 16 hours.
Would you do that for one game?
No, we'd go up there and play three games.
And you play a couple on the way back or whatever, or you just up there three games and then back?
Yeah, up there three games and back. And we're right in the middle of everyone, too, so, like, there's teams that have it way worse than us.
Are there teams that fly in your league?
No flying until the finals.
So what would be the worst team for travel? It had to be Brandon.
Well, it was Brandon, and then I'd say probably Winnipeg this year, or Prince George even. Prince George's closest game is 6 hours. But, yeah, Winnipeg's about 12 hours east from us, so wherever we got, like, Vancouver for them is probably, like, 22 hours.
What's the card game? Are you a big euchre player? I mean, I feel like all the guys in the WHL are all euchre players.
I'm not familiar with that game. No, we played a lot of Kaiser.
No. Euchre is for Ontario. Well, Hearts
not for
Ontario. Played a lot of Hearts out west.
What was that? Sorry.
Have you ever heard the game Hearts?
Hearts. Yeah, I've heard that, but no, I don't play that.
You're not a card guy. Eh? Okay. Well, actually, Riv, I live with a guy that played for Lethbridge. His name was Luke Theoret. Big euchre player. So I just assume, but then again, he's also Theoret. He's French, so maybe it's a French thing. I don't know. But anyway, Dylan, enjoy your conversation with Rob Ray today.
Thank you.
I hear you're going to be chatting with the Razor. You know, what do you know about Razor?
Not too much right now, but
don't tell him that.
No, please tell him that.
Dan works with Rob very, very closely. So if there's anything you need, Dan, what should we prepare him for?
Just say, Rob. Hey, Rob, before we get into this interview, what do you do? Just ask him, what do you do anyway? What's your job?
Dylan.
Hey, it's an honest question, right? Hey. You know, why not?
That's exactly how you should start with him, Dylan. Dylan Cousins, kind enough to join us. Enjoy the rest of your, I guess we'll call it off season, and hopefully we'll see you back here sooner than later with training camp whenever that happens. So good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it. Dylan Cousins, right, kind enough to join
us, Dylan,
from UConn. And Craig.
Yes, sir.
He's got the gym to himself.
How unbelievable.
Backyard rink right now.
He's got a backyard rink. He's been skating. And they open up the local gym with his trainer to go work out in. That sounds like a pretty good gig.
Got it all figured out. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Instigators. Dan Dunleavy with us. WGR 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, I guess we'll get our buy-sell trade in here, presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway. I was kind of serious about my Mitch Marner buy-sell trade to Drags about Mitch Marner wrote this letter, but maybe that's not serious enough. So we'll do this. 68-game rollback is NHL's most fair standings format. Buy, sell, trade.
I'm gonna go yes. I'm gonna go yes, especially if they go directly into the playoffs. I think the 68 game rollback scenario is the way to go. So I'm gonna buy this one. Yes, it's gonna.
Yeah,
hurt.
I look at the math. Yeah. Well, there's no perfect scenario here, Ribs, but I think you're right. If you take a look at the fewest games played with 68, right? So we're going back to there. You can't give points that weren't earned. So you take the points you had through 68, and you're done.
I agree.
I'm buying this as well. I'm buying this as well. But here's the flip for me, though. Will the same type, if they were to do that, would the same type of scenario be brought into effect for the draft?
Because
now I think Buffalo picks six then. Not that huge difference between six or seven, but
yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Just thought I would chuck that out there.
I love the way you're thinking, and I'll tell you this. If they go to that 68 game schedule, then you're going to have to do the draft that way, 100%, and that'll take Buffalo Sabres, and instead of picking seventh, they will be picking sixth.
With slightly better odds for the lottery.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, but you got to consider the lottery, yeah.
But listen, I'm okay with that. So I'm buying it 100%.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, gentlemen. While we're on the line here, I'm just going to run a little draft simulator. And Buffalo Sabres picking number nine. So I'm not very good luck when it comes to this.
Come on, Petey. We can't.
No more simulators for you.
I'll do it again. Here. Now we're down to
everybody's got to do it.
I just dropped from 7 to 9 and then 7 to 8. Someone else want to take a shot at this?
Last minute of play in the show.
Oh, I went up to number two. So what are you doing, Riv? You going to drop one on us? Danny, you going to drop a simulator on us?
I'm going for it.
Yeah.
All right. Run it. Buffalo, I kid you not. Buffalo picks first overall.
Dan Dunleavy. You know what? The LA Kings, if they were
going to. They
were going to send Will Ferrell, but we were sending you. So your odds.
I kid
you
not. Buffalo first.
Yeah. Riv, if the Sabres do go from 7 to 6 in the draft rankings, they go from 6.5 to 7.5% chance first overall. So it's one more percentage point. So
okay, gentlemen, I'm gonna do it right now.
Here we go. Here we got 20 seconds left in the show to finish it off. Happy Easter, everybody. We're off Friday and Monday.
One picking ninth overall.
No! What a way to end.
Stick with my draft.
Dan.
Stick with my draft.
Dan, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for listening. One Bills Live next. We'll catch you on Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.